Joining me now is KSFR's MK, and good morning, MK, and we have an expert on the line to discuss the expansion of an important domestic violence hotline to help communities in need. MK, go ahead.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much, Tom. We have Mallory Black from, she is the director for Strong Hearts Native Helpline. She is the communications director. I'm sorry about that. Mallory Black, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, MK. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's a sincere honor to have you. And I'd like to ask you, why is Strong Hearts Native Helpline so important? Can you give us an idea of the kind of services you provide?
Sure, absolutely. So just to give you a little bit of background, the Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a nationwide helpline that is confidential and anonymous, and it's free for providing culturally appropriate support and resources that are tribally specific. So, you know, we try to reach out to Native Americans specifically because we know that the dynamics of abuse and the barriers facing Native survivors are unique, especially for those living in remote Indian reservations, living on remote, in remote areas, I should say. And so really, you know, we're really here to provide an opportunity for people to come forward, share their story, and hopefully find some help. You know, our advocates staff the line. They are Native. They come from tribal communities, and they understand, you know, what that means to be Native. We provide, again, peer-to-peer support, any sort of crisis intervention that's needed, assistance with safety planning, information and education around domestic violence and dating violence, as well as referrals to culturally appropriate resources. We know this is something that's been a long time coming, needing a culturally specific helpline that would be designed to support Native communities. Right now, we just announced that we are increasing our hours today. Yesterday, we officially announced that we increased our hours. Currently, we're going to be available from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain Time every day of the week. Prior to that, we were available from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, kind of normal business operating hours. So we're so excited to be kind of expanding our service hours, our operating hours, to better serve Native people who might be reaching out to us.
Yeah, there's nothing like having an emergency on the weekend and having no one to call. This will, I imagine, hit a much larger percentage of your population. And tell us about the specific cultural challenges that Native people face when it comes to their communities and domestic violence.
Sure. As was mentioned in the intro, you know, more than half of Native women and about a third of Native men have experienced physical violence by their intimate partners, according to a national study. We're talking about physical violence, but there are so many other types of violence that are occurring in relationships. There could be emotional abuse, sexual abuse, there could be financial abuse, as well as digital abuse and cultural abuse, which is something that is kind of unique for ethnic populations. The barriers that often come into play when a victim is seeking safety or support could be, you know, again, going back to that remoteness, living on an Indian reservation, living far from town, living far from their tribal community. You know, people can feel geographically isolated from being able to reach out to a shelter or reach out to, you know, an advocate. It might be a few hours drive, you know, to get somewhere. There's also a fear of just being identified in the community as someone who is experiencing domestic violence. I know retaliation is a big issue in our communities. If someone were to come forward and speak out about someone, you know, our families are so close and tight-knit that sometimes it can feel kind of like an attack, right? And so we try to be really mindful of those dynamics and that, you know, if you were to speak out about someone prominent in the community, there's a real concern about being shunned or, you know, kind of being isolated blurred that speaking out. So we try to keep that in mind. And I think the other piece of this is kind of the elephant in the room is all of these cross-jurisdictional issues about where someone should go. You know, if I'm a victim and I'm Native, you know, do I go to the local police? Do I go to tribal police? You know, do I feel like I can trust those people with my story? And do I feel like I'll be able to get the help that I need? All of these issues start to kind of come into play. And it's really kind of it stems from kind of a historical distrust of services that have sometimes failed, you know, so many times over and over again, Native people. And so we're really culturally sensitive to all of those issues. And that's really kind of at the heart of what makes the Strong Heart State of Helpline unique, is that our advocates understand all of that and they get it right from the very beginning.
Yeah, a lot of trust issues. I mean, it really comes down in large part to trust.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. I think that there are so many times when, again, the systems have failed Native people, federal interventions may not have worked out the way that they were intended. And that's, you know, something that we really understand and we get. And so really introducing this helpline from a Native perspective, it's a Native woman-led project. You know, we're here to support our Native people.
Yeah, I'm very curious. In some ways, because you're dealing with smaller communities, it's sort of a microcosm of the larger society in American culture, as all coming to terms with this Me Too movement and people speaking out about sexual violence against women. And how do you deal with retaliation? Because that really is another elephant in the room, right? I mean, sort of the reason women don't speak out in the first place is the fear that I'll be retaliated against. And so how do you make sure that the women feel safe enough to speak out, and also the men who may be accused don't feel crucified, or I don't know what the word, maybe that's the wrong word, you know, just absolutely destroyed in the process equally, that it becomes a point of growth for the community and greater understanding between men and women, or understanding about even violence and why we find ourselves leaning in a violent toward violent means when we don't really need to go there. How are you dealing with the retaliation issue?
Sure. So one of the things that makes the helpline unique is that we are, of course, culturally appropriate, culturally relevant, but we're also anonymous and confidential. So when you call into our helpline, you know, we're not collecting information about your story or your experience that's going to be identifying for you. You know, we're never going to report what we've heard. You know, it's all about providing that safe space for you to talk openly, confidentially, and anonymously about what's happening in your relationship. So if you tell us that you're, you know, being physically abused, you know, we're here to give you options. We're not here to tell you what to do. Again, kind of coming back to the retaliation piece, you know, we're not here to report to the authorities or to child welfare or anything like that about, you know, I think a lot of people are fearful of, you know, being retaliated against by their family, having their children taken away. And that comes from that historical trauma, right? That historical distrust of these systems that have failed us. And, you know, we're not here to, you know, report anybody. We're here really just to listen. We're here to listen to what's going on in your relationship, what you need to kind of find your healing, and find resources that might be helpful to you. And we're really here to walk alongside you, really, to walk alongside you and help you along your journey. Because we know, you know, it can be hard. It can be very scary to openly talk about some of these issues. I can, you know, kind of speak from my personal experience. You know, it's hard to talk about these issues in our communities. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we don't always know how to, you know, communicate that something might be wrong. I think that we're always scared of putting our issues on our friends or our families. We want to keep everything inside. And, you know, everybody has their own issues. So I think there's a feeling of, like, wanting to keep things inside and to not worry anyone or make anyone feel like, you know, they have these additional issues to worry about. And so I think we put a lot on ourselves to be strong. And it's okay to reach out for help. That's really what this helpline is about, is to be able to provide a space for you to talk about these issues wherever you want to start. If you want to start from the beginning, if you want to start with what's happening now, if you are fearful, you know, afraid to talk about these things, we're here to provide that space for you to talk openly. And again, we keep our helpline 100% confidential and anonymous. You can tell us whatever you need. We're never going to report anything. And that's really, you know, kind of our goal.
Yeah, so if I'm afraid, I'm at home and I'm being abused, but or maybe I know somebody, I'm a bystander and I know somebody, and maybe they're an important person in the community, and I report it, I can know that that's not going to then turn him in, so to speak, but it's just, how do I go about helping this person that I know who's in trouble, or how do I help myself out of this bad situation? So it doesn't necessarily have to be a turning in or a reporting of this person that will then result in the consequences on that particular person, but it would also just give me support. And am I understanding that properly?
Yes. So our hotline is not kind of like a tip line. You know, we don't report that information to the authorities. We keep everything confidential. Anything you tell us, we keep that anonymous and confidential. And you brought up an important point about, you know, if you know a friend or a family member or a coworker who's being abused, we're here to take those calls as well, because it can be often hard to know what to say or what to do or how to help. And we often see our relatives struggling. And so we're here to take those calls as well. If you know someone who might be being abused, we definitely encourage you to reach out to us as well. We take calls from service providers. We provide assistance to abusive partners, you know, people who might be questioning their own abusive behavior, as well as victims and survivors of abuse. You know, we're here to help all of our relatives who might be affected by this issue.
Right. So, and also the idea that perhaps the abuser needs help and says, I'm out of control. I know I am, and I don't know how to deal with it. So they too can reach out and get help.
Yes, definitely.
Anyone. I'm sorry, but does this mean, listen, I know I'm just going to put myself in the shoes of somebody who's an abuser, and I say, listen, I know I have a problem. I want to reach out for help, but I'm afraid the minute I reach out for help with you, I'm going to get turned in. Is there a way that I know I'm going to be protected?
Absolutely. Again, you know, we keep all of our calls anonymous and confidential. You know, anything you tell us, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to report you to the authorities. We're not here to, you know, call the police, you know, or anything like that. We're here to give you options. So if you call in, you know, you're questioning, you know, am I being physically abusive or emotionally abusive to my partner? If you have that instinct that something's wrong in your relationship, we're here to help you too. You know, we're not here to, you know, judge or blame you for what's happening or to put you down. We're here to, you know, kind of lift our people up and find options and find that hope again and restore that feeling of control over their situation. And so that's really, you know, what it is about, is being able to help our relatives, being able to be a good relative to our people and take those calls, find options for you and work together so that we can find that healing once again.
Yeah, a sense of control and unity, reunification.
Yes.
And so let me ask you, what kind of services are there for people who are suffering with domestic violence? Are there things like counseling? Is there ever couple counseling, things of that nature to help people make it through their, I mean, do you ever see couples survive these kinds of situations and turn around? Or is it often a case where, listen, there's just no hope, this person is violent, and the best thing for you is to get out and just protect yourself. Do you ever see things turn around for couples?
No, you know, on the front end, you know, we take the calls. We provide kind of immediate support and validation and any sort of crisis intervention that's needed. From there, you know, we really try to refer out to programs like shelters, counseling services, any sort of legal services that may be needed, medical services, whatever the caller is looking for and requests. We refer to culturally relevant resources that are in the community. So our number one goal is to connect people back to resources that are available in their community so that they're, one, easily, you know, accessible, but two, they have that connection with resources that understand where they're coming from. They understand the dynamics of the community. So, you know, we don't do necessarily any kind of follow-up to those calls. So I can't tell you too much about, you know, kind of success beyond those calls, you know, but we do have some repeat callers who have shared that they have found healing or that they have found a way to communicate with their partners in a better way and in a more healthy way. And, you know, some people have, you know, kind of escaped abusive situations altogether. I think the biggest thing is to understand that we are here to kind of listen, to support, and help you find those options, whether they be, you know, a counselor or, you know, an advocate who can help you, a shelter, whatever you need. It really just kind of depends on each situation, and each situation is so different. It could be, again, a call coming in, just answering some basic information and questions around what is domestic violence. Is this what I'm experiencing? I need help and immediately need to get to a shelter. So it really kind of runs the spectrum. And every call is kind of a mixed bag when it comes in.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing that we're seeing with the Me Too movement is sort of a backlash, actually. I've been working on a story about sexual harassment in the Forest Service, and some of these women are being, there's allegations that women are being raped on the job, things of that nature. And yet, ironically, even though there have been women who've spoken out, in some ways, it's actually silencing the other women who are still left behind more, who are still being sexually harassed. They fear for the loss of their jobs, their careers. They've even said they have death threats. So sometimes, how do we prevent this, the backlash from happening in terms of this Me Too movement and the wave of women speaking out? How do we make sure that we can really keep the retaliation from happening, or that it doesn't then silence women all the more?
Oh, wow, that's such a great question. And I wish, you know, I wish I knew, you know, that shining answer. And I think it really does come down to just continually talking about these issues. I think the more that we can put it out there and put it in the open, that this type of, you know, domestic violence, sexual assault, harassment, everything, that it's not normal and we shouldn't accept it as the status quo. I think that the more that we can put things out in the open, the further we can kind of progress and continue in our healing. And I think the biggest thing is we have to do it together. We have to lift each other up and do it together, and we have to believe each other, right? When we have people coming forward with these stories of abuse, sexual harassment, sexual assault, domestic violence, we have to believe survivors. We have to lift each other up and say, you know, I hear you, I believe you, and I'm with you. I'm standing right here beside you, and I believe you. And I think that that's really what it's going to take, you know, going forward, is believing people when they tell us that something happened, something, you know, is going on, something happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, something happened yesterday, is believing that no matter what the time frame is, that there's always an opportunity for healing, and to believe people when they come forward with stories of abuse.
Yeah, it's also, I was thinking about the importance of language. You know, you'll often hear people say, well, all these men lost their careers due to this Me Too movement. And yet, really what happened was perpetrators were brought to justice. They didn't lose careers. They probably shouldn't have had them to begin with. And it's really the women who spoke out who probably lost careers along the way more than, I would say, the men. I think that the language seems to be important. But what I appreciate about what you're saying is also there's a reaching out for the men who are suffering with the abusive tendencies as well to say, listen, I do need help with this. How do I do that? So let me ask you, Mallory Black, how do people reach you?
So our phone number is 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. And we're available nationwide, so we're available across the United States, U.S., Alaska, and Hawaii. Right now, as I mentioned before, we just increased our hours, which we're very excited about and so proud of. In the Mountain Standard Time area, we're available 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain Time every day of the week, Saturday and Sunday included. You know, we're here daily to take those calls. Again, we accept calls from anyone who's questioning, you know, what's happening in their relationship, helpers, you know, we're talking about friends and family who might be concerned about their loved ones and relatives, maybe an auntie or an uncle, any sort of service providers who are looking for more information about what we do and how we can support their work as well. We're always open to taking those calls. And then, of course, any abusive partners who might be concerned and want to change.
Thank you, Mallory Black, so much for joining us today again from Strong Hearts Native Helpline. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
And that's it for Thursday's Wake Up Call. Many thanks today to John Shannon and MK and guest Mallory Black. Sound Travels with Bruce Hamilton is coming your way next. I'm Tom Trowbridge. Have a great day.
Today on Here and There, with one eye trained on the American push towards a peace agreement with the Taliban in Afghanistan, a push undertaken so far with the exclusion of our allies, the Afghan government, and the other on the sudden explosion of warfare between India and Pakistan, the fine Washington Post correspondent Pamela Constable has been one very busy journalist. She'll update both stories in depth on Here and There right after the 5 o'clock news.
Aside from bringing you radio programming 24/7, KSFR has a few other events, a major one being fundraising to continue providing you with the information and entertainment we've grown accustomed to hearing. Our spring fund drive begins March 21st and goes through the following week. Besides your financial support, we need some helpers to answer phones during that time. If you can volunteer for that, please call us at 428-15-